Let us now look through the window of baseball. Bruce, you never know what you're going to see when you look through the window of baseball. We do it for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice at Marvin Windows and Doors. And Bruce of the Chronicle joins us. Bruce, happy Saturday to you.
Yeah, you too, Marty. How are you?
Well, Anthony, you know, I said, Anthony, do your best broadcasting voice, and he took over the show.
Gotta love it.
I do, because that's the passion. You know, it's the passion. Isn't it amazing? Well, first of all, Vince Scully last night, and just your thoughts about the moment, and I'm sure you saw some of the presentation.
Big bouncer over the mound, over second base, up with his Mantilla, throws low and wild. Hodges scores, we go to Chicago.
Yes, we do. Boy,
that's
1959.
The exact call from 1959 playoff game with Milwaukee. It's been in my head ever since, but... Well, yeah, Vince Scully, you know, he's so many of us have, he feels like a member of the family. You know, we've grown up with him. For me, it goes all the way back to, you know, 58, 59 when they played in the Coliseum. And I didn't get a chance to see the entire ceremony last night. But, I mean, I've got so many wonderful memories of Scully and the chance to meet him and several times, and my wife as well. And I'm full of great warm thoughts about the man.
Well, it was a wonderful presentation. It was on MLB. They streamed it live, and I got to see it, and I just missed Manfred and the mayor. That was it, which is fine. That was fine with me, but I got to see Koufax and Kevin Costner at the end, and Charlie Steiner did a nice job, and and Kershaw and all that. But he transcends Dodger baseball, as we like to say. He is baseball. And he epitomized everything, and he just extolled the fans and gave the fans the credit, and I loved it. It was really nice.
It was so great when he called the World Series for I guess NBC or whoever was hiring him. There were those great years when he was the voice of the World Series. You know, the Buckner play at first base and Kirk Gibson. Of course, that was a Dodger game, but I mean he. Anytime he did a national broadcast, that was a golden moment, I thought, for the fans. And there's been a lot of call for him to do it, really, to this day, including this postseason. But, you know, he always feels very embarrassed about stepping into somebody's booth, you know, when it was supposed to go to this guy, and then why would they bring me in? And, you know, he's been doing it all year, and that's just the kind of guy that he is. But it's an inconceivable loss. It really is. But, you know, the man is 89, and great line. He goes, what am I going to do? I'm going to try to live.
Yeah, it was beautiful. He said, and what do I do? I'm going to get a smaller house and a larger medicine cabinet. I thought it was great. It was great. You know, when you meet people, you don't say, how are you? You say, what medications are you taking? That's what you say to people.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, I loved it. It was great. It really was nice. Hey, I had Andy Furillo on earlier. I don't know if you got to hear it, about the book The Steamer, about Bud Furillo. And, of course, you're a sports writer, and he comes from a different era, Bruce. But, my goodness, the stories and the bars and the insight and the intimacy with the great athletes and owners and people of the day, it's really an amazing book. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've heard great things. I'm anxious to get it. Andy's people have promised to send it to me in the mail. I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, I growing up down in L.A. at that time, not just Vin Scully or the L.A. Times with Jim Murray, but the L.A. Examiner, which was run by Bud Furillo for years, was a tremendous sports section. Yeah, they were absolutely on top of everything. They were diligent, hardworking, always just tried to stay ahead of the times in terms of breaking news and scoops and all of such things. And they did that. They did a great job. Melvin Derslag was their great columnist, Alan Malamud, and my friend Lyle Spencer was there. All manner of great sports writers moved through there. So yeah, that's a good name, especially for LA sports fans from a few years back.
Yeah, the Steam Room. That's a good name.
He
for
was a steamer. Yeah.
The Steamer. Very good. I knew the Steamer Stan Williams. That's the last guy I knew as the Steamer. The Steamer Stan Williams always used to say, "Well, if it was 3-0, I didn't want to walk you. I'd hit him." And that's the great relief pitcher, Stan Williams.
Well, after Stan Williams' performance in the 62 playoffs, I think Bud Furillo should be called the Steamer.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, Stan Williams, what happened to him? All right. What do you think here? Come on. What a week of baseball. You know, you and I probably have to talk during the week, but we had the Bumgarner Monday night. We had Cueto with the cramp and being bitten by a crab. On Tuesday night, we had Puig's homer on Wednesday. We had Samardzija on Thursday. And then, of course, we had last night with, you know, the fifth inning getting out of hand. And the Mets go through pitchers like, you know, like every 10 seconds they put a new guy in. And the Cardinals get chewed up in Colorado and get blasted by the Cubs and then come back and beat the Cubs again. So what a week. What a week.
Yeah, the Mets pitched a guy named Gilmartin. Is that Joe Gilmartin, the old Phoenix sports writer?
It's so funny you say that.
In his arm.
It's so funny you say that. I thought the same. It's Sean Gilmartin. And he's going today, and I think the most pitches he's thrown in a game, maybe a dozen. And so he goes today.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. To me, the Giants have they don't deserve the playoffs. They absolutely don't. They might get there, but 24-40, the way they're not hitting, that they don't have a, you know, they still trying looking for answers in the bullpen. They've let the fans down so many times. They don't deserve it. They really don't. You know, the Mets should they get in with all the problems they've had? I mean, you know, the Giants' problems aren't anywhere near the Mets in terms of injuries. Whether it's David Wright or Zach Wheeler or Matt Harvey or Steven Matz, I mean, it's just DeGrom. It's just on and on. And they've got some spunk. They've got character. They're lighting it up, and the Giants are just dull as a plank.
Well, tonight the belt goes into the two spot. It's interesting. You know, I always say if you're going to have a team meeting, have it before a game that you think you're going to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, Art Howe taught me that. He said, I don't have team meetings unless I think I'm going to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight they changed the lineup around with belt. And, of course, Span is on the top and all that against Jared Cosard. And the first four guys in the lineup are like 13 for 20 against him, including belt, you know, having good numbers. So maybe you'd think Bumgarner and Jared Cosard, the game they need to win, you'd think it'd be okay.
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, but that's how many times have you gone into a game kind of figuring what was going to happen? I mean, you know, last night Edwin Jackson, his ERA was around 6, and he was you know, Tom Seaver out there. So I hesitate to predict. It does seem like a, you know, a likely situation that they would win. You know, it's been very, very frustrating, and it's amazing to think that they, I mean, it's too late to turn it on, to turn on the lights and suddenly be hot like a hot goaltender going into the Stanley Cup playoffs. But if they can get there, everybody knows they'll be a dangerous team.
Well, it's going to be interesting. You did comment today in the column about Bumgarner. You did write about it earlier in the week as well. For the fans who haven't heard your approach on it and the Puig situation, and I wonder if the Padres tonight will come out and look at him. You know, Will Myers. I wonder if the Padres will tempt fate tonight. But give us your thoughts on Bumgarner.
Yeah, well, Bumgarner had a ridiculous stare down with Will Myers early in the season. I think Myers didn't even know what was going on. You know, innocent kid in that situation. But you know, in that Monday night game against the Dodgers, it's such a big game, and Bumgarner was, you know, never better. He was fantastic. He has to come out for the eighth inning. I sent him out there even after the stupid thing with Puig. But, you know, Bochy made that call. I don't know if he was trying to send a message to Bumgarner. I think it hit home. I mean, after the game, Bumgarner, you could tell he wasn't really telling the truth. You know, he could see that in his eyes. But he did say that he has to, you know, I've got to watch myself a little bit more, you know. That sometimes there's just no need for that. You know, and what a time for it to happen. It's just a ludicrous scene. Everybody, people sprinting out of the bullpen over nothing. I mean, talk about absolute flat nothing. And he doesn't come out and they lose the game. That's just, it's so crucial. You know, he's going to be fine. I think he definitely will tone that down. If somebody flips the bat 60 feet in the air or screams at him, you know, he's gonna come right back at him because that he will feel a little bit challenged or insulted. But you know, you can't lose it over a glance and cost your team the biggest game of the season.
No, and it's funny. Now again, you know, you think, well, the Padres, you know, they're not going to start trouble with anybody. You know, they're just glad to be, you know, be playing. You know, basically. But you know, if you had a team that, let's say, it was the Dodgers again, which we will see Friday night when they're going to play against Bumgarner again. I wonder if they, you know, sort of try to get his goat a little bit.
Well, they might. You know, they came out of that looking so good. They really did. They came up with the T-shirts and you know, they were all, you know, Kershaw was saying flat out that was all on Bumgarner. He likes Bumgarner, but you know, there was the whole Bumgarner thing was just kind of a joke to the Dodgers. And I don't know if they really are angry enough to get his goat. I mean, they might if Puig's playing, anything goes. But I just have to think that, you know, Bumgarner knows that people are watching him a little more closely now, and maybe instead of getting so terribly upset, maybe he could just crack a smile and walk away.
Well, if this was really, you know, the game has changed so much. If this was Leo DeRocher, you know, 50 years ago, whatever it is, you don't think they'd be standing on the top of the dugout screaming at him? You know, look at me. Come on, look at me, Bumgarner. You know, I mean, really, it would be a whole different world.
If the game was really meant something, if the Giants were one game back, I'll guarantee you they'd be all over them.
Yeah.
I just think they've buried the Giants. You know, that's so over.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Good theater. It was interesting theater, I'll tell you that. Looking at this Steve Clevenger, do you have any thought of it? Well, what is this guy thinking about? And for people who don't know, terribly racist tweets on Twitter about the situation in Charlotte, and you know, then sort of backtracked it, and you know, and he's been suspended for the year. What are people thinking about? Well, I don't get it sometimes.
Well, it's the reason why these things that everyone is upset about, and that's you know, affecting the fabric of the country. Things don't change because of people like this, because of fear and ignorance and idiocy that runs rampant in the country. This is, and it's never going to change. After a million years, why would you think it's ever going to get that much better? And it's not that you don't stop fighting against it, but I mean, this guy, they suspended him for the rest of the season, and people are going, "Wow, that's not enough." Well, nobody's going to take this guy. He's done. He's done. He might be done in terms of employment, like anywhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I kept waiting for him to say, "Well, I got hacked. You know, somebody. Those weren't my words, or you know, somebody got a hold of me, or something." But it was clear that he said the things, and it's just inconceivable. It's really frightening to think that, you know, people actually think that way. And not only that, but I bet there was some alcohol involved. Gotta be some alcohol involved. Scotch and Twitter is America's worst and most dangerous drink.
Very good. Well said.
And, you know, that, but just, this is a stupidity. But it's, you know, you ridicule the guy, but it's also very, very scary.
Yeah, it is. It's a world.
He's so not alone in America.
World we live in, Steve Clevenger of the Mariners. And look it up on Twitter or on Google, and you'll see what he said. Incredible. First one in baseball, really, to, you know, baseball sort of stayed on the outside of that stuff. He, I don't know, maybe he's not the first, I don't know, but maybe he sort of crossed the line as a baseball player. And Bob Nightingale had him fired within 30 seconds of the tweet. He said, release him right now. But the Mariners didn't do that, so who knows what the
Well, I think they were waiting to make sure that he actually said it. But I guarantee you, he's not alone in baseball. He's the first one to do something that stupid, but he's way not alone.
All right, Romo. A couple of good saves this week. Bruce, if I'm Bochy and I'm in the ninth inning, he's getting the ball.
Yeah, he's pretty sharp. He's looking real good. You know, the big thing is he's got an idea against the lefties, and he hasn't faced a ton of lefties, but, you know, against the right-handers, he's just exceptional. You know, the pitch is not – it doesn't look like that slider is going to come into anybody's wheelhouse, and as long as that's the case
– Yeah.
He's going to get out, and I know. I agree. I mean, he's the guy. I don't want to see Strickland. You know, I certainly don't want to see Reynolds. I mean, who even is that guy, Reynolds? I mean, people barely know who he is. I mean, Will Smith, no. Derek Law, I think he's got a chance maybe down the road, but you know, not yet. The other guys have just not shown it, and you know, heaven knows Casillas hasn't been the guy. So, you know, right now, for the way it looks like today, you know, it's Romo.
Boy, we'll talk to him some more tomorrow. Let's see what happens tonight. The Cardinals already won, and as I say, the Giants, when they take the field, they generally know what's happened because it's in the East, it's in the Central, and here. So it's kind of interesting when you take the field, you kind of know what's gone down already. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll talk tomorrow more about it. And as I say, eight games to go, and You know, we had Phil Rogers on, and, you know, he confirms it. We got to talk about the Cubs party room tomorrow. We'll do that in the morning. But
I read Tim Kuhn's great story.
How about
it was a
that?
Really wonderful piece of writing.
Yeah. Holy cow. But even Phil says, you know, the team they don't want to see, the team is the Giants.
Mm.
You know.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I wouldn't mind playing the Giants at all if I'm anybody right
yeah.
now.
I mean, the numbers are there.
Until they show up as themselves, you want to play them.
Yeah.
Really, seriously.
All right. Well, with eight to go, you know, the love and optimism of baseball, that today is the day you start the eight-game winning streak. You know that.
Yeah, it could be. They storm into the playoffs. They win it all. Even year, champagne, confetti.
Why not?
Hey, why not?
Why
Could
not?
Happen.
All
Could
right.
Happen.
Have a great afternoon, and you got a Cal game tonight. Are you writing tonight?
I'm actually writing on the Stanford game because it starts at a more reasonable hour.
Stanford
down at UCLA. That's a big game for both of those teams. I'm writing on that.
Oh, well, I'm sweating out the Florida game here.
How are they doing?
Well, they were up 21-0, and Tennessee is now 21-17, and the Florida can't stop them. As I told Raph and Justin here, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
I've seen it before in Knoxville, Conridge, Holloway, and all the names. I love college football,
I love it too.
In conjunction with baseball on a Saturday. It's a great sports afternoon. So, hey, pleasure having you on.
You bet, Marty. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. All right, that's Bruce Jenkins. More coming up on the Sports Leader.